Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good evening. Welcome to my lair. Today we are going to be playing some oldies but goodies. First, we are going to listen to my response letter to a film festival rejection letter. The second bit of fun is my notes for the next remake of The Karate Kid, in honor of the passing of Jimmy Wang Yu, who, side note, was the inspiration for a character in the upcoming Killer Comanche issue number 2. And lastly, I share with you the chicken story, where I curse at nice people who just wanted to make a nice commercial about nice chicken until they met me, Scourge of God. Enjoy! I would like to welcome someone. I would like to welcome...
Yeah.
Hold on, which mic are you at? Okay, there we go. I would like to welcome Blake. Hi, Blake. How are you?
Thank you.
Hi, welcome, Blake. Blake, you are a new capo, as we call our new soldiers that come in. You know, you're a capo here.
Yes.
And I want to bring you up to speed on some things. Wait, which one is green? Okay, green is not being used. Okay, all right. Blake, I don't know how much you know about Wild 7 and what we do here, but we are getting ready very soon to make some big announcements about a film we made.
And
when
Heard.
Yes. And when I say film, I don't mean like a short film. I don't mean a sizzle reel. I don't mean a promo film to get a film made. I mean an actual feature-length film that's an hour and some minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where we're at. And the thing is, we were able to do it our way. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to listen to anybody. Nobody told me what to do or anything. And we were able to make something truly amazing. And I have proof of how amazing the film is From a sample of dialogue that I would like to play to you. Because it's not all rosy, creamy, what I'm bringing up. This is a little bit of a carryover of something that I brought up last week. I still have thoughts and stuff. But I'm going to bring you up to speed on the latest controversies and whatnot, okay? So I'm going to play you this clip, Blake. And Blake, welcome. Welcome to Wild 7. You are Wild 7. You're from Oakland? Mm-hmm. Yeah? You're Oaktown? Yes. Oaktown?
Yeah,
do they call
it the town.
The town? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Oakland A's, brother. I'm all about it. Jose Canseco, who used to be a player, I believe. I'm not that good with sports. I'm sorry. I only watch professional wrestling. But okay. I'm going to play you this clip, okay, Blake?
All right.
Okay, so when you hear this audio, you will see, like, how can any movie be better? Like, you know, Gone with the Wind, that bullshit? Like, you hear clips from that, it's like, oh, this is so boring. Or, like, what else? Like, any movie compared to this. I'm sorry, even compared to my heroes. No disrespect, Scorsese, Tarantino, Paul Thomas Anderson, any of you. You guys, I love you guys. But, you know, you listen to this clip, it's like, how could you go back to cinema the way it was? Okay, so I'm going to play this clip.
Every day I wake up and I'm just...
so full of cum, and no one will accept my cum.
Okay. Do you understand now? That is, and forgive me, Captain Morgan, that's a vulgar clip, but in the vulgarity, there is the truth of man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I, as an artist, have the courage to tell the truth of this character, this boy. Let me play the clip again.
Every day I wake up and I'm just so full of cum, and no one will accept my cum.
That's in my movie. That our movie, Blake, your movie as well. Yes. I share it with you because you're part of Wild 7. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I share it with you. Isn't that exciting? Like NASA, when they landed on the moon.
Every day I wake up and I'm just so full of cum, and no one will accept my cum.
They had a similar feeling, you know, because they were like, dude, what we're doing, we think this is new. You know, like we think this is like a new thing. And I'm not going to kill the clip. You know, I have to keep it safe. Can you imagine? I've completed this film now for a few months now. And I've been sitting on this clip. Like, I feel like I've been sitting on the cure for cancer. Like, for real. And no disrespect to people, you know, like I've lost people. Everybody has lost, you know, it's horrible, cancer. Mm-hmm. But I have the cure. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty cool. You know, like,
one more time. Every day, you know, like,
it's just
so full of comment. No one will
and
accept my cum.
If I were to analyze what makes it great, I think it's that there's an innocence. Wouldn't you say, Captain Morgan?
Yeah.
There's an innocence.
Yeah, I would agree.
You would agree as well, Blake? There's an innocence to the young man's voice, and he's being sincere. He's not saying like, I'm saying this vulgar thing to be funny. No, he's saying, dude, I have a situation here. It's almost as if he's pleading to Jesus. You know what I mean? Like he's saying like, every day I have, I don't want to repeat it.
Yeah.
Every day I wake up and
just one more time.
So full of cum and no one will accept my cum.
Okay. And so I share that with the world. That's a I haven't shared this with the podcast audience yet, and that's a first. Now, the reason I bring that up is when you have such beauty in your art and then it's not appreciated, you go through a whole range of emotions and then you arrive at a place where you're like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. You know, like, it's my baby. Blake, you do music. Am I correct? Yeah. Please tell me about that, please.
No, I fully agree what you just said.
Yeah.
I've had those days where it's like, I want to give up, but I know that it's not.
Never, right?
Never, yeah.
You never will. I can see it in you. You have the eye of the tiger, just like Captain Morgan has the eye of the tiger. I'm the lion. You know what I mean? I used to be a tiger. I'm older now. So you become a lion. You're going to become a lion. I can see that in you. I see it. You seem a little high, but, you know, I see it in you, you know? And no worries, no judgments. As long as I don't see, I don't know, you know? When we interviewed you, I could have sworn you were high.
No?
That's why I hired you.
A lot, though.
Really?
Yes.
That's why we hired you. That's why I hired you. I said, I like him. That's it. He's my type of kid.
He can be my smoking buddy.
Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah, you swear to God you weren't high?
No.
Really?
I get that a lot, though.
Really?
I really do.
Okay. No, I know I believe you. I get the same thing because my eyes are kind of like always. But in my case, they're right. You know what I mean? I am high. You know, like, but no. Captain Morgan, you're not a big smoker, are you?
Here and there.
Here and there?
Yeah.
Not anymore. Every once in a while?
I'm more into drinking than smoking.
Oh, yeah?
Back, like, I used to smoke pretty often back in the day.
Cool. Okay, cool.
I think people's eyes change as they smoke more weed.
Right.
Oh, is that me? Uh-oh. Really? Who the fuck is this? I'm ignoring this. I don't know who that is.
No content.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, you know what? I think I know who that is.
Oh.
Nah, fuck it. I'll take it later.
Okay.
Actually, sure? It content. Might. Do you wanna
get him on the podcast?
Yeah. You know content. What? Let me just give him
content.
Yeah. Hold up. He's a good guy dropping off my pills.
Mr.
Yeah.
For you about 10 minutes. Anybody home?
Yeah. Just leave it by the behind the thing.
Okay.
Cool.
Leave it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. That literally was my drug dealer. He sends me drugs. Yeah.
Dude, good timing.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. I don't think he'll mind. And so anyway, back to the thing. So you weren't high. That's okay. Everybody gets their buzz on, as long as it's not crack. You know, like we're good. You know what I mean? And even if it's crack, we'll help you. I'm talking to the listeners out there. You know, like we'll help you, like you know, with your addiction and stuff. Yeah. But
wait, may I ask?
Go for it.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
20?
You're 20?
Yes.
Wow. You're just like starting out in this world. So yeah, no, you definitely have the eye of the tiger. You know, you have the eye of the tiger.
Doesn't he looks like he's like 24.
You have a mature air to you.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's something about that I was like, nah, you're younger.
Yeah. That's cool. You know, and just being a fellow, because I used to be in NorCal. I told you my experiences and stuff. You know, Fremont is in Butte County. That's what it's called. Yeah, Butte. My brother used to make fun of me for that and stuff because I used to say it's a rough neighborhood. But anyway, so when you have something, let me bring us back to the point.
Every day I wake up.
You know,
and
just one more time. Yeah. You know,
so full of
it's lost its potency.
No one will accept my cup.
But it'll come back. You know what I mean? Because this is forever magical. Yeah. My point is when you create something. So you know what I'm talking about. Yes. And just being 20, I'm impressed and I'm happy that you have that experience because you need that. You know what I mean? Like you're doing your thing. And if I may ask, like what type of music is your jams?
That I listen to?
Yeah. Or that you listen to and that like, or whichever. Yeah. That you like to create and what's your thing?
Mostly like synthwave.
Synthwave? Stuff.
And then a lot of hip hop and like R&B.
Cool. That's really cool. I dig that. That's cool. Captain Morgan is musically trained as well.
Yeah.
So,
I don't make beats though.
Yeah. And I have some experience with music, beautiful music, like everything that I do. But so and we may collab, you know, like and that's cool, you know. I welcome aboard, Blake. So when you create something, let's say you submit it to a festival, a beats festival, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine you submit your beautiful beat, your beautiful song. Imagine you crafted it with none other than like, not Rihanna, but like a new, like someone that was like, oh my God, you're like the new thing. You're going to be the new thing, you know, which is how I feel about everybody in the cast of Debbie and the Devil. Everybody in the cast of Debbie and the Devil, they have this voltage of star power. I don't know how to explain it because they're all relative newcomers, but they all have credits and stuff like that. But I strongly believe in their screen presence. And so you submit it to a festival, and then, you know, part of submitting to a festival is you will get rejections. Now, festivals, especially now with COVID, because everybody made a goddamn COVID movie, they're getting like thousands of films.
Correct.
The ones that get, you know, screened are usually the ones with stars. Mm-hmm. So we don't have technical stars. We have real stars. We have Melina Galabova. We have Stevie Viejo. We have me. We have, you know, like we have real people, real new voices, new faces. So imagine you get a letter back, but you know, and you're hip to it. You're like, I'm going to get rejection letters because the game is a little rigged, but I'm doing this because, and I mentioned this last week, it's like my kid.
Yeah.
And I want her to go to a good private school. So I feel kind of like a dickhead because I know my kid is beautiful. My kid is a beautiful Cardi B. You know what I mean? I don't know what your opinion is of her.
But you have to be selfish.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. She's gorgeous and she's perfect. So I have to take her to private schools and put her in front of a board, in front of judges, and they judge my kid and then they send me a letter. Okay, fine. You want to send me a letter, a rejection letter. That's fine. That's par for the course. We're doing the thing because we have big announcements for Debbie to be TBA, to be announced.
Yeah.
You know? And they send you a letter back, and instead of calling your baby by her name, they leave in brackets your put film name here. Like they say, we're sorry,
we viewed, and then in brackets, mm-hmm. put film name here. And we, you know, and then they give you this bullshit, like they're like, oh, but thank you so much. We wish you luck on your journey. Please include us on your journey. And then meanwhile, you're like, wait. You didn't even say her name. Yeah. There's a film, you guys, that was a little before your time, starring the late, great Robin Williams. It was called Patch Adams.
And I've heard of it.
You've heard of it? Yeah. It was about a doctor who was goofy. That was his thing. He liked to make people laugh while they were in the process of dying.
That's important.
Yeah, that's important. And there's a part where they're talking about a patient while he's in medical school. And they say, yes, the patient has this horrible disease and he's dying and, you know. And Patch Adams goes, what was her name?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's a sensitive moment that I think we should think about. That it's, and so I was very hurt. I basically got a rejection letter from a film festival that I'm not naming. If I wanted to, Blake, if I wanted to, it would be war. Do you remember where is the March of Ants song?
It's in the second bank.
Second bank, Blake. Yes. You're new here to Wild 7. You know me as a nice guy, right? You know I'm chill. You know I'm, you know. But when you fuck with Wild 7, I go nuts. Mm-hmm. It's a scary thing. My partners out there, they've seen me go nuts. And they just, their eyes get big and they get scared. One of them cried. I won't name who, but saw me go nuts and they were shaken. They were like, I've never seen this kind man ever become like that. So it could be war between us and this festival if it gets there. But I don't think so, because they're, do you know why? Because, you know, like Tupac said this about his Biggie situation. Mm-hmm. You know, and I respect Biggie. There's no disrespect to Biggie. But he said, I'm not going to go fuck with them. It's like going to like your little brother's school. Not my little brother, but like, you know, like some little cousin, some little somebody that you don't know going and like messing with them. They're little. They're nothing. This film festival is nothing. And the people that run it are super nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm a big fan of Mr. Rogers. I think he spoke a lot of sense. He said all people are special and stuff. Okay, that's true. But not the people that run this festival. They are not special. You know what I mean? They are the worst human beings on the face of the planet for doing this. Now, I don't expect Debbie to be loved by everybody. It's a crazy movie. It's a nuts movie. You heard the clip. I'm not going to play it again. It's there, and there, you know what? More to come. More to come. You know? There's other clips. There's
unintended and no pun intended.
Oh, wait a minute. No,
yeah, that was
yeah, no. That was not no pun intended at all.
Oh.
Wow. I'm pure.
You're
a Wow. Wow. But so I decided that I have written a letter in response
to the festival.
To the festival. But also, it's a form. You know how they send them? These fuckers send us form letters. We're going to send them form letters back. Because you don't fuck with Wild 7 without me getting nuts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And in fact, to keep me calm, I'll just put on. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. So this is my form letter back to them. I'll keep it down here. Okay. How's this volume? Is this good?
Yeah, this is good.
Okay. Now, mind you, I just want to remind you that I sent them a letter saying, hey, dickheads, this isn't cool. And then they said, sorry, you know, we rely on a form letter. Sorry, you know, we... And again, they give you the same bullshit of we hope you include us on your journey. What journey, you idiot? What are you talking about? Okay. Festivals. And they make so much goddamn money from and the thing is, we can take it. We're a power force. You know what I mean? We're a group of people. We're an army. I mentioned this last week. Some poor kid in Minnesota that this is his shot. Come on. And this kid's not going anywhere. He's going to be addicted to Oxycontin. Okay. Dear festival. You silly, silly film festival. I have had time to think of your rejection letter. I read it to my team, and we laughed. As we laughed, through my tearful, joyful giggling, I said, the judges of these festivals think they rejected us, but I've been hooking up with their moms every night, and I reject them. I reject them as my stepkids. Now, the real reason I write this letter is not to degrade your characters. You all do that enough just by being you. You don't need me to do that. You are all plenty degraded, and your faces are super degraded. You suck. No, I am writing this letter to tell you just this. Wild 7 rejects you, and how dare you? Our film Debbie and the Devil is a real mean girl. She is, much like the Doja Cat song My Best Friend, she's a real bad bitch. And she don't need you. She don't need no you. You disgust me. On last week's show, when I explained the atrocity that had happened, I said that Debbie and the Devil was, for all intents and purposes, my daughter. I need to clear my throat. Hold on. Thank you. A daughter I can make money off of, which if she were a real human, that would be horrible. That would be a Jamie Lynn Spears situation. But since she is just a perfect work of art, it is okay that I profit off of her. I want to say to the festival, shame on you. The reason I am irritated is you took my money. In fact, let me correct that. You took my money, you dickheads. If I may say, much like the rapper Freddie Gibbs, I am no sucker. Yet I saw the festival process as a necessary evil to get my daughter seen by the world. Like a Southern Belle at a cotillion. So I gave you my money. The least you could do is ignore the other films and program mine, you asshole. Also, I feel that you are all perverted. And not in a charming, problematic 1980s sex comedy way, but in a Jeffrey Dahmer way. I feel the real reason you put on your festival is so you can kill me and have sex with my head. I have no way of proving this, but I feel it is true. You can't sue me or arrest me for feeling things. I do not wish harm on you or your families. That would be wrong. However, if you all shit yourselves and died and hyenas ate your bodies, I would laugh. Fuck you. My movie is perfect. With all the hatred in my heart, say hi to your mama, your dad who rejects you, Mr. Red. Thank you. That's our show. Woo! Thank you, Blake. Thank you, Captain Morgan. Yes. That's how it's done. Any rejection letter we get in the future, if we get some, this is the letter that goes to them. And that's that. And I feel great. So basically, we were approached by a producer. I'm not going to name his name. They want our services. They want my script doctor services because they, once again, and I'm not knocking remakes. I'm all for it, whatever. Hey, if they're going to give us money, fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
These producers, and I won't say their names because they're still trying to get it going. They're just sort of tying up loose ends because there's a lot of legalities to it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I'm very careful to say that, like, this isn't from, like, I don't think these guys are, like, the rights holders of this property.
Okay.
But they want to do this. They want to do this, and so they're pursuing it. And I believe right now they're talking to lawyers about how to obtain the rights to do this. So when I say this, I'm not implicating anybody that might hold the rights to this series of films. But they want to do another remake of The Karate Kid.
Another
one. And I'm, hey, man. I said to the guys, yo, the only color that counts for me, man, is green. If you got the green, I got the time. I'll write your Karate Kid. I'll write the best Karate Kid in the world. You know what I mean? Like, and so I watched the film again. And Bobby, thank you for joining me with this.
Of course,
because
thank
the person
you for
having that's going to help me with the rewrite is Donish, young Donish. I don't know.
We have not met yet.
You have not met him. He's 22, good guy. He's a family friend. And he helps every once in a while on Wild 7. He helped on Debbie and the Devil. Oh, okay. But also, he's into martial arts. Like, he knows martial arts. He's into all of that stuff. So what I was thinking was, I can sort of be the script doctor with him. You know what I mean? Like, and he can help me. So what we're going to do is we're going to call up Donish. And hopefully
bring
this will work.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, just bring him on and just talk shop, talk business, talk writing.
Hey, now what's up?
Hey, Donish, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Listen, you're on with Bobby Moss. He's going to co-host today.
Hey, what's up, Bobby? How are you?
Good. How about you, Donish?
Cool. Yeah, so, Donish, I don't know how much you know. I don't know if you spoke to April. I don't know if you spoke to Alex or anybody here. But we got a job, pretty much. And do you have a minute to kind of have a phone meeting?
Okay.
Okay, cool. So, basically, the job is there are these sort of indie producers. They want to remake The Karate Kid.
Okay.
And right. So, and I know I heard that you recently saw Karate Kid, no?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Oh. So basically, Donish, do you remember when we did this for Tremors and we did this for the Christmas Prince?
Yeah.
The doctors are in Hollywood. The doctors are in. Right, Donish?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. So you got a minute?
Yeah, I got time.
Okay. So Donish, just for my information, what got you into watching Karate Kid? I'm just curious because you're a younger guy. It's not really your generation.
Yeah, but it's such a like a cultural, like pop cultural thing. Like, you kind of have to see it. You know, it's such a like impactful movie. Like, everyone, you know, talks about it. It's such a big, you know, it's such a big hit at the time. And also I was bored. You know, it's on Netflix, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you. And also,
I'm a martial art guy too. I like martial arts. You know?
Yeah, and please tell us your martial arts background, please.
Okay. Yeah. So, I practiced Taekwondo for like 3 years. From like 16 to age 20, and now I do Krav Maga, which is like an Israeli martial art.
Oh, that's the kind that they train to kill, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Don't fuck with Donish. Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Well, that's great. Just for my curiosity, Bobby,
what's up?
Do you have any martial arts background?
I don't, but Krav Maga would actually be like my first go-to.
That's the Israeli martial art.
I've heard Russia uses it too.
Yeah,
no.
Dude. Oh,
like Russian military uses Krav Maga. I thought. Or am I wrong in that?
They probably do.
Well, cool. Well, I'm going to... hey, Bobby, if you learn Krav Maga, I'll learn it with you, man.
Let's because do this.
And we will be unstoppable, the three of us.
Hell yeah.
And Donish, I really wish you were here to meet Bobby Moss. And likewise, same goes for Bobby, because you guys are both of the coolest guys I know. So let's get into it. Okay, so I watched the film. I took my notes, Donish. I hope when you watched it, you were taking notes as well. I mean, just maybe in your mind of ways that the film can be improved. Now, listen, Donish... You know how we know that kid Carlton?
Yeah, that's
not right. not your friend, but that kid that you don't like and I don't like.
Yeah.
Not your friend. Yeah, okay.
An acquaintance.
Yeah, okay. So let me describe Carlton for Bobby Moss.
Okay.
And I'm going to say this in objectively. I'm not going to say this in like a mean way. But Carlton is like a he's a big like fatty. Like he's not in shape. He's fat. He's very mean. He's a nasty boy. Like he's very nasty to everybody and nobody likes him. And so we never feel bad about like
greasy forehead,
greasy face.
Yeah.
He's Persian, but his name is Carlton for some weird freakish reason. You know, he's just we don't like him. And so, but the thing is, like, he is an interesting guy to watch sometimes, the same way like wild boars are interesting to watch in the wild and stuff like that. You know, like it's interesting to it's interesting to watch at a distance,
right?
And so what I was thinking is for the remake, Ralph Macchio, the main actor, he's a good actor and I respect him and he has a good presence, but I think it's a little cliche. It's like, okay, look, you have skinny, kind of vaguely handsome boy is the hero. That's pretty cliche. You know what I mean? Why not make him like someone who's like,
he needs it more.
Yeah, like someone that like looks like he was born in a toxic waste dump, like Carlton. You know what I mean? And because I think that's dramatically interesting. Because the thing is, like, it's like we always are asked to sympathize with beautiful people. What the fuck is that? Like, why can't we have a large-breasted boy that's disgusting be the hero? And he always has food on his shit, yeah. Bobby. Like,
especially in a martial arts movie, because that's like physical training.
Exactly.
It'd be interesting to see him not only learn martial arts, but to be losing weight.
Exactly.
At the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, Donish, if you get disconnected, call me right back, okay?
Okay, I won't.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. For instance, also just sort of flexing on my martial arts knowledge, like you watch 36 Chambers of Shaolin, where the main character goes through a training of sorts. Uh-huh. And that's very interesting. And it helps if they not start out as some cut dude.
Already fit dude.
Yeah, you know, show me Carlton and his jelly tits. But anyway, okay, so like that opening scene where Ralph Macchio is like leaving with his mom. Do you remember that part, Donish?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember that part, Bobby?
Vaguely.
Okay. Well, the for those of you that don't know, Karate Kid is the story of a boy that moves from New Jersey to Los Angeles. He has a hard time fitting in. He meets Mr. Miyagi, who's played by Pat Morita. Oh, sorry, Alex. I thought Alex was listening. No. What's Pat's name in who's Mr. Miyagi's name? Pat Morita, played by Pat Morita. He meets Pat Morita, and then he sort of like he trains with him and whatnot. So at the part where he's leaving, it shows Ralph Macchio like leaving with his mom, and then all the kids are like, oh, bye, you know, enjoy LA. In our version, all the kids are like, bye with your jelly, with your fucking tits. And like, you know, like they're like, you know, like really berating
him.
Yeah, exactly. They're just being really, really mean to him and stuff. And then, they literally say, like, I put it in my notes. The kids say, bye with your tits. Okay. And then the music, I want it to be like modern. So all the music, I want to be like some crazy hip hop, like motherfucker, you know, like it's just like really aggressive, you know what I mean? Cause I want to connect with the youth. You know what I mean? Okay. So then, there's a part I so did not remember this when I was a kid, when I watched it. And Donish, you tell me if you remember that. I know you probably didn't remember it. There's a part where when Ralph Macchio moves to the new neighborhood, there's a kid wearing a shirt and there's a cartoon of two pigs like doing it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Do you remember that?
God, no, I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember that? No. You don't remember that, Donish? There's a picture of one pig, and then there's a pig behind the pig, and it looks like they're doing it.
What kid?
The kid that sort of says, do you remember he goes into the apartment complex?
Yeah, huh? The kid who like brings them in.
Yeah, yeah. The kid's like, hey, you're the new guy. Hey, you know, yeah, like right, yeah. He's wearing this shirt. I thought it would be interesting if like, okay. Yeah. Carlton's mom, she's kind of a nice lady, but she's kind of like dingy. You know what I mean? Like she's Persian and she's very like, oh, hello. You know, like I was thinking it would be funny if like when Carlton moves to the apartment complex, the kid that like sort of is like, hey, new guy, whatever. He's wearing a shirt and on the shirt, it's Carlton's mom getting tossed by like five dudes.
That's awesome.
You know, and then Carlton's like, Carlton's mom is like, Carlton is like, hey, that's my mom. And then he's like, whatever, dude, you know, like, but that's like, again, like Bobby, this is like interesting texture to, for like Carl, the character of Carl, like his psychology, you know what I mean?
Like, it sounds like the most gritty version of Karate Kid I've ever
heard. Yeah, it's a really good version. I like it already better. Okay. And then, okay. There's a part, Donish. Do you remember the part where he's going into the apartment complex and there's this old lady and she's like, oh, you know, you're from New Jersey. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. One time Donish and I were walking to the food court in downtown and there was a homeless woman urinating and we had to step over her urine as it was sort of going down the sidewalk. And
I was crossing the sidewalk.
Yeah, and then as she was urinating, she was like, sorry. Yeah. Okay, I want that old lady to be played by that lady. And so like when Carlton sees the lady and the guy is like, hey, you know, get over the shirt with your mom getting tossed. Hey, look at this lady. She lives here. And then I want the lady to like urinate in Carlton's face. I think that because the thing is, when Carlton triumphs, we have to like really feel, you know what I mean? Like he has to take so much abuse.
He has to be broken down.
Yeah, he has to, you know, like.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so just looking at my notes, hold on. Just looking at my notes. Okay. When Carlton looks at the girl, okay, Ralph Macchio sees this girl and he's like, oh my God, that's the girl. In our version, when Carlton sees the girl, he's like, oh my God, what a beautiful girl. And then the girl looks at Carlton, she throws up, she dies. So already Carl, he's clearly not having a good time in this neighborhood, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's funny. I mean, not funny, but like it's life, you know what I mean? Like it's let's be realistic.
Funny too.
Yeah, exactly. Cause I mean, dude, listen, I would tell, and I'm putting this out to the producer, the shithead producer that put me to this task. You want me to contrive like someone could love Carlton, like have a love interest? I can't do like that's not real. You know what I mean? Like the only person that loves Carlton is like his mom, and so, you know, and that's cool. Like you know what I mean? Like so, it's not like you know, it's like don't make me like bring about. Come in. Who is it? Hey, April. April, we're going through the remake of Karate Kid. I'm giving my notes. Producer April just came into the room. How you doing? A fork? Vic is here? Oh my God, it's a wild day here at Wild 7 Studios. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, where was I? I'm just looking at my notes. Just looking. She takes a whole box of forks. How many forks does she need? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So in the party scene, hold on. Let me read my note. Let me see if this even makes sense to me. In the party scene, the kids.
The beach party?
Yeah. Remember the part he goes to the kids' party?
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, my note suddenly makes sense. Okay, there's a part, Bobby, where Ralph Macchio goes to this beach party, okay? And, you know, the guy that's like, hey, new guy, the guy that has the picture of his mom getting gangbanged, he takes her to the beach, right? Uh-huh. And then he sees, like, the mean guy and blah, 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 blah. In our version, like, Carlton kind of, like, follows the guy to the party. Like, he's not invited, you know?
Right.
And then people, like, are they're kind of like, dude, like, they're kind of, like, trying to be cool about it or whatever. And they're like, listen, you know, we're, like, really close friends here and stuff. And we didn't really invite you. Could you please, like, go away? And then, like, Carlton, like, for the rest of the scenes, like, Carlton is just, like, off in the distance just looking at everybody and stuff. And, like, we have the scenes developed.
Just observing.
Just observing to show the character's loneliness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to show, because, again, we have to really, it's almost like the Passion of the Christ. Like, he has to feel... We have to so feel for this guy. So he triumphs. Because you remember at the end of Passion, he kills the vampires or something? I don't know. But yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. Okay, let me just read my note again. Hold on. Let me do the... All right, hold on. Harry Styles, so I can... Oh! I want the bad kid to be played by Harry Styles. And I'll tell you why. Because I work with someone who's a young girl, and she's in a bad relationship, and I would love to introduce her to Harry Styles. I think he would treat her right, and I think she's a good girl, and she deserves that kind of love. And I don't know Harry Styles from nothing. I don't know One Direction and all that stuff.
I know the name. I don't know what this guy looks like.
And the funny thing is, like, I probably, like, really get along with him well, and I would, like, ostracize Carlton, and you know what I mean, on set. But I would tell Harry, I'd be like, Harry, I understand you're playing the antagonist. It's make-believe. I know you're a good guy. You know what I mean? Like, I would say that to him, and then I would introduce him to my friend. I'd be like, this is my friend. She's a very darling girl. Okay.
Harry Styles looks like the guy from Game of Thrones. Oh, I forget his name.
Oh, Theon?
Theon. I don't know why I was thinking Rob Stark. It looks like Theon.
Yeah. Dickless Theon. Yeah. Who's Freddy in the movie?
Freddy.
Why did I write Freddy leaves and says you suck? Freddy? What the fuck? Okay, let's skip that note. That doesn't make any sense to me. I must have been too high. Okay, at the scene... okay. There's a part. Carlton gets his ass kicked in the beach, at the beach party. When he goes to the beach party, all the kids like beat him up. And so he fights with Harry Styles. Harry Styles knocks him the fuck out. Carlton's a fat fuck. He can't take the mighty fist of Harry Styles. You know what I mean? So he falls and he just falls, right? The next scene in The Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio at the breakfast table, he's wearing sunglasses, okay? To hide his black eye. Yeah. And the mom is like, wait, why are you wearing those glasses? Blah, 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 you know? And then finally she takes off the glasses and she's like, oh my God, you know, like that happened. Oh my, you know, in our version, when the mom removes the glasses.
Oh my God, you're so fat.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, you're so ugly. And then she says, Bobby, please stay professional. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm trying.
She says, oh God, why did I fuck Ted Cruz? Like, cause, and then we imply that Carlton is Ted Cruz's son, and that's why he's gross. Yeah. Okay, so that's okay. So let me and forgive me, listener. I have these notes, and again, this is business. This is like we're just sort of airing out our conducting our Wild 7 business on the podcast.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. It is very wild. Okay. Hold on. Wait. The girlfriends talk. Oh. After the girl sees Carlton and throws up and dies, we do need like a girl in it to be some sort of love interest, even though it's unrealistic.
Right.
So the girl, I have a character, a completely new character that talks to Carlton just so we could see his humanity. But the only reason she talks to him is because she's majoring in obesity studies at college. So she like asks him questions like, how many French fries do you eat a day and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know? And so, there is a part where the kid offers him. Oh, in the lunch, I remember this scene. Ralph Macchio is in the cafeteria with the girl. And then he says, do you want some milk to the girl? In our version, Carlton is like, do you want some milk? And she's like, yeah, sure. And then he whips out his titty and starts like spraying milk at her. You know? because that's like surreal. You know, it doesn't happen. It's surrealism. It's Louis Buñuel. You know? But okay, on to my notes. Hold on. I'm just going through it because we really want to give this guy like the best thing.
If you really want to make him pathetic, I think the love interest should be like a prostitute. Like the only person he can talk to, he has to pay for it.
Yeah, that's Bobby. I want more ideas like that. Yeah, Bobby, you're on. I didn't want to tell you this, Bobby, but we were testing to see if you could co-write this with us, and you passed the test, my friend. Welcome aboard. So she's a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so, okay, there's a part where he meets me finally.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're in this.
Yeah, I want to be the Mr. Miyagi role. But actually, I haven't even gotten to that part. Donish, you're still there, right?
Oh, whoa.
Okay. Yeah, okay, cool. So... When he goes to see karate lessons, there's a part where Ralph Macchio goes to the dojo of the bad kid. So basically, Carlton goes to Harry Styles' dojo.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I want the sensei of the bad kid to be played by Jared Leto.
That's perfect.
Okay. I think he would kill it. No disrespect.
He has to be in his like Jesus outfit. Though.
In his Jesus thing, and like he's got that faith thing. He's got going, you know, like that kind of like, oh, I'm spiritual, you know, like because I want it to be like opposite of the guy in the '80s one.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to repeat the past. You know what I mean, Bobby?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Donish?
You got to be innovative.
I want to be innovative, exactly. And so he goes to the dojo. It's Jared Leto. I just want to set up that it's Jared Leto. And then he comes to me finally. I'm the superintendent of the apartment complex that he lives at, right? Mm-hmm. And when I look at him, I'm just like, because he's got a black eye because he got his ass kicked and stuff. I'm like, damn, man, those boys whooped your ass, man.
I think also during that punch, he should lose a shoe.
He should lose a shoe?
He got hit so hard. This is actually a true story.
Yeah.
So I knew a guy who we were talking about, someone that we were at a net cafe with.
Yeah.
And he's large, right?
Yeah.
He's a bigger guy. And the only story that was like going around about this guy that anyone knew, which was my friend told me, is that someone they knew back in high school, I guess they went to high school together, someone punched him so hard and he would wear sneakers, like some Vans, but he always wore them like untied, kind of loose, right? Apparently he got hit so hard, he got thrown up out of his shoes. Like the shoes
really?
Came off.
Holy fuck.
And that would be fantastic like for a film.
I think I'm going with that idea. I'm going to add something to that idea. He loses his shoe and then he loses control of his bowels too. Like he just completes like, oh my God, you know, to add the humiliation.
Right.
Cause he's like, poor Carlton, geez, Malise. But okay. All right. So,
back on track, Jared
Leto.
Yeah,
Jared Leto. Carlton is like, dude, can you talk to this sensei at this other thing? His student keeps like kicking my ass and stuff, and I'll be like, all right, I'll fuck whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So then I go, I whoop Jared Leto's ass. Like I just kick his ass so hard. I punk his ass. I put him in his place. Like there's no like in the 80s movie, because it's unrealistic for Jared Leto to like. From, you know what I mean? Like in the movie, in the 80s movie, it's like this big dude and Mr. Miyagi's this little guy.
Yeah.
In real life, you see me on screen with Jared Leto, I'm a whoop his ass. You know what I mean? Like that's how it is. I mean, but we would get along as actors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's no disrespect to Jared Leto. But no, he's a good guy. Okay. So there's a montage in the Karate Kid. So then I agree to take him as my student. Uh-huh. There's a montage in the Karate Kid where he's like, having fun, and he's having fun with the girl. Donish, I think you'll like this idea. Because it's unrealistic for Carlton to have fun with a girl in that like capacity, I was thinking of just having, out of nowhere, just a montage of you having fun with a girl, like going to the fair with a girl, like you're sort of just having fun and stuff. And then if anybody asks me, like, in the Q&A when the movie is done, I'll be like, well, yeah, it was a very interesting choice on my part. You know what I mean? Like, just to introduce, because I like Donna, she's a cool guy. You know, okay, so anyway. So,
another girl.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. The training, you know how like in Karate Kid, it's the wax on, wax off. It starts with that.
Yeah.
The way we do it is I tell, okay, Carlton, you ready to train? He'll be like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to kick some ass, master. And I'll be like, okay, cool. Just stand here. Okay. I go in the building. I go up on the roof under where he's like over where he's standing. Uh-huh. I take a bag of bricks. I just drop it on his head. You know, and it like he's like, oh, what the fuck? You know, and he's like concussed and stuff. I'm like, this is part of your training. And then the thing is, like, that's the wax on, wax off. Like, I repeatedly go up in a building and I drop bricks on his head. You know, and then eventually he's like, hold on, let me look at my notes. Sorry.
You can dodge a brick.
Yeah, exactly. That's the lesson. Like, if you're smart enough to move when I drop these bricks, maybe you'll kick someone's ass, you idiot. You know? But okay, there's that part. Now we're getting to the climax. There's this part where finally he's like, dude, master, fuck this. You keep dropping, fuck this. And then do you remember Mr. Miyagi is like, you say bullshit, that's not bullshit. You know, you're learning.
Yeah.
I take such offense to him saying, fuck this. I throw him into a bowl of acid and he horribly scarring him.
How big of a bowl?
Like no, not a bowl, like a tub. I throw acid. No, I throw acid in his face. And he's like, you know, like, and then he gets all like,
as if he wasn't already ugly enough.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, and then
what
the thing
that
is,
makes him handsome.
No, exactly. Donish, you're a genius. That is the twist.
That's good.
I make him handsome by throwing acid into his face. Okay,
and then
he looks at himself, and then suddenly he looks like kind of good, but not too good, you know. Like, but he looks at himself. He's like, "Dude, master, thank you." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're welcome, asshole." You know, like saying "fuck you" to me and stuff. Okay, and then at the there's a part where they we have a heart to heart. And he's like, you know, Mr. Miyagi. I still want to be named Mr. Miyagi. No, no, that's offensive because I'm not Asian. I'll be Mr. Red. I'll just be Mr. Red. And he'll be like, you know, Mr. Red, you know, like, man, kids always make fun of me and stuff. They say I'm gross and all this stuff. And like, you know, but you're cool. And so, you know, you drop bricks on my head, sure. But like, you know, like, you're not like, you're not like overtly mean to me and stuff. And I'll be like, and then my heart, my confession to him, like when I open up is like, bro, I've been banging your mom like every night. she's amazing. I love it. And then he's like, wait, what? What? And I'll be like, yeah, yeah. You know, and I start laughing and shit. And then like I'll tell him, like, you know that shirt that the neighborhood kid wore of your mama getting tossed? I made that shirt because I thought it was so funny. I was sharing it with my friends. And okay. So anyway, back to but that's like the opening up and the comic relief too. Because it's like, it's almost like, oh, Mr. Red made that shirt. That's funny that he would do that. He cares, you know? Okay.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know, I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
So, there's a part where Ralph Macchio goes to the country club and then he sees that girl dancing with the guy. Do you remember that part? We saw it. Bobby and I were watching it earlier. But like, at this part, Ralph Macchio sees her dancing with the guy, and then he tries to run away or something, and then he falls into spaghetti. I'm telling the producers right now, do not touch that scene. Perfect. Love it. Keep it. Carlton and spaghetti. Okay. That's amazing. That's amazing. And then, in fact, we'll have him lose control of his bowels again, and it'll be, like, ultra humiliating. Because, again, we're, like, adding the humiliation and stuff like
that. Oh, the humiliation should get so far to the point where everyone in the room is looking at him. You know, you got 100 eyes on you. You made a fool of yourself. You're covered in spaghetti. What happens when someone has that much anxiety?
You they defecate. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going out several holes.
Yeah, exactly. The front, the back. And then on top of that, people are like filming him and stuff and making like cruel Snapchat things. Yeah, exactly. Because I'm not
live.
Yeah, exactly. Because Bobby, we got to bring this story into the new. You know what I mean? Into the now and stuff. There's a very tender part where Mr. Miyagi is talking about his long lost love, like he's looking at a picture of her. There's an actress that I actually met through the shop. Very lovely lady. I only met her once, named Alicia Witt. Very nice lady. I want to use her photograph. I'll be like, man, you know, this was my love, Donish. Not Donish, sorry. this was my love, Carlton, before I discovered your mom. And, you know, and then he'll be like, come on, man. And then there'll be a scene like, he'll be like, man, can you stop talking about, like, banging my mom? It's really disrespectful. I'll be like, no, dude, I love it and live with it. I'm your sensei. Okay. So there's a part where Mr. Miyagi gives Ralph Macchio a car to drive to, like, to impress the girl.
Yeah.
In our version, I give him a homeless man that he could piggyback ride. Like he could ride on the homeless guy's back. And then the homeless guy like carried like almost like a like those rickshaws, you know, but on the guy's back. And then he like takes the girl out on a date, like riding on a homeless man, kind of like a horse, you know. But again, see, and that we're making a comment on like poverty and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we're sort of doing that. That's the cool thing.
There's deep roots with socioeconomics in this film.
Yeah, exactly. So now that brings us to the climax. We got the fight. We got the big fight. It's very simple. I just want, and this is how he triumphs. And it's not even like.
Has he lost weight?
No.
He's still fat.
And the thing is, like, in the matches leading up to it, I'll talk to Carlton in person and I'll be like, Carlton, you want authenticity for this film, right? You want to win the fucking Oscar, right? Or you want to win nothing? I'll be like, I'm going to win the Oscar. And I'll be like, okay, I got to have these guys really kick your ass here. Like, you really got to take it. And furthermore, if you defecate yourself, that's more humiliation for you. Stop it. You know, like, so the matches leading up to that, he just gets his ass kicked, but he keeps progressing because the judges think it's funny, like, watching him get his ass kicked, you know? Yeah. So finally, he's up against Harry Styles. And then, like, it's, like, corny, but, like, he takes his socks off and just chases Harry Styles with it. And then that's how he wins, okay? That's, like, the end of the movie, okay?
He wins by being repulsive.
Yeah, he wins by being repulsive. So now, cut to now, we are in Cobra Kai times. Now, as you know, they have made a show called Cobra Kai. And it's about the bad guy from Karate, okay, from Karate Kid. When we pick this up, it's going to be called Cobra Bai. And it's about, like, Carlton, like, exploring his sexuality with, like, a new sensei played by Zach Braff. And it's like we're sort of, like, showing love to the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think of that?
I like it.
It's a good show, right? I mean, it's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thank you. So Mario sends me this this message, and he says, I know you dig me and you dig chicken and you dig some money. So how about helping me out? And I said, Mario, slow down. I think you're talking my language here. Yes, I dig you. Yes, I dig chicken. And yes, I dig money. What's going on? He said, well, I'm working on a commercial and they need people to my language may go a little salty in this thing, because the thing I'm going to play is a bit of salty language, but they need people to eat this chicken. I'm not going to name the name of the place, but they need people to eat this chicken and react to it. And it was a spicy chicken.
On camera?
On camera. Like, film yourself reacting to it like you're just a regular Joe. You know what I mean? And quite frankly, I'm not a regular Joe. I'm Mr. Red, goddammit. But I said, you know what, Mario? I'm doing it. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for the chicken. I was mostly doing it for the chicken and the money, okay? So that day, the way it went down, and I love Mario. The day how it was going to go down was the chicken delivery was going to come to the office. And Chris was also doing this, okay?
He was going to shoot?
No. He was going to shoot, but also he was going to eat the chicken. Okay. And mind you, one of the people we work with had a huge meeting. So in the middle of the day, so we wait for the chicken. Okay. They call us. I go downstairs. I get a box of chicken. A man delivered it what do you call it? Like those things that keep things warm, like a thermal box or something. He's like, hey man, here's the chicken.
Like I'm a like, takeout.
Yeah, like a takeout thing. I was disappointed that he didn't have the chicken and the money, but it turns out they were going to pay us via Venmo, you know? Oh, hey, Al. Hey, Big Al. Hey, you want to sit on this? I'm telling her a story.
He's
the chicken story.
Chicken. Have a drink. I'll join
with you. For sure. Come on in. Interdimensional Alex is just joining us. Bro.
Is that
all
right with you?
Yeah. My daughter doesn't smoke, but she's cool about that stuff.
I don't smoke, but it's in my genetics.
Yeah,
because my mom and my dad smoke so much.
Nice. For the listener that doesn't know, interdimensional Alex is stepping in. He's
into this dimension.
Yeah, he's stepping into our dimension. Here you go. Here are the headphones, buddy. Oh, sorry. Your mic's not on. Hello.
Can you do that effect again? Okay.
Do it again.
Y'all know who's here. Oh, y'all know what's up. I'm grabbing a cold drink and a quick decision. I'll be right back.
Nice. Okay. So, Alex, I was just telling her about... Well, I'll wait for you to get on mic before I continue. So I might have to backtrack the story a little just for
Alex.
Do
you want elevator music?
I do have it. You know what? Hold up. As Alex settles in...
Is that interdimensional?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I love my Miha because she always has great ideas. But what's a good... Well, you know what? The girls have stuff queued up because of Simba. So, Al. Big Al, how you doing?
What's up? Yeah, hello, Rocio.
Why, hello there.
Hello.
How are you doing today in the office?
Oh, man. Things are A-okay. We did some promo work earlier. We helped the big ship that is Debbie and the Devil go along its smooth voyage. I'm always excited to be here in the Wild 7 Studios. Hey, what about you guys? What's going on here?
We are good. I'm just talking to my daughter.
Oh, I was just fantastic.
I wanted to hear.
You should be quite proud, sir.
I am very proud of my daughter. She was telling me about the Warner Brothers and how horrible one of them was. Ooh. And she was telling me
one
about...
One of the brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, one of their brothers.
One of the... Say again.
Basically, he killed his other three brothers.
Listen back to the show.
Slowly, psychologically, yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, amazing. I thought they should make that movie.
Yeah, and I thought the Warner Brothers were delightful animaniacs.
One would think.
I know, right?
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm telling her this story. So basically, you know Mario, our guy.
Yeah.
You know, Mario messaged me and said, hey, do you like chicken and money and me and you want to do me a favor? And I said, yeah. Did I tell you this story? Do you have any context for this story?
I have no context.
Okay, so I said yes. And so basically, I had a thing that I was going to film myself eating chicken and giving my reaction for this chicken company. I'm not going to name the company. So right now in the story, I just received a box of the chicken. A guy downstairs delivered it.
Amazing.
I went downstairs.
Thermal delivery box.
Yes, in a thermal delivery box. Thank you, Miha. And I went downstairs. Chris was doing this same thing, okay? Uh-huh. So I do the first time. First, I talked to the director, and mind you, I'm just going to preface all of this. The people involved were very, very nice. Everybody's nice. Nobody is ever really mean to Mr. Red. Everybody's nice to Mr. Red. I'm not talking smack on those people. It was just a day, okay? So the guy is like this dude from, they're in Argentina, but they all seem like some of them are European and some are, it seemed like they were remotely making this commercial. It's a, mm-hmm. And it's a big international commercial, mind you. And basically the guy says, okay, so I want you to eat the chicken and give your reaction. And then he asked me, he's like, hey, where are you? And I said, I'm actually in my studio. I'm a filmmaker. And then he was like, oh, that's so cool. I wish I had a studio. And I was like, yeah. So I'm not like some guy that needs or wants this. I just want the chicken and the money. You know what I mean? I'm not in it for like, oh my God, I need to be in this commercial. No, I just want a chicken and money. You know what I mean? Which is the motivation of my whole life.
Absolutely.
And so...
Hallmarks of great living.
Yeah, exactly. Chicken and money. So the guy basically says, so just eat the chicken and give your reaction and just give your honest reaction and just be real. We're looking for real people. So then I do it. I have April for the first time, you know, producer April, she films me. I eat the chicken. I start singing a song, chicken, some stupid song about chicken. And then I'm like, okay, boom, that's it. They give you like 5 pieces of chicken, right? And they're small like wings, right? And they're supposed to be incredibly spicy.
Were they different flavors?
No. They were all this spicy flavor. And then the other thing is they want you to react honestly and like be like, oh, and just, but then they're like, play up how hot it is. And it's like, well, what do you want? You want me to react honestly or play up how hot it is? I bite into the chicken. It's not even that hot. So then I'm standing there like a
hot as in spicy?
Spicy. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going like, oh yeah, I'm feeling it. It's really spicy. And then, oh, this is amazing. I'm acting like a jackass. And then I start singing and then I send it off to them thinking, okay, that's it. And mind you, most of the chicken is now done because we've done it a couple of times and stuff like that. I send it to the guy. My big mistake was singing because once I gave them a taste of my talents, they wanted more. You give people an inch, they take a foot, or sometimes they take your whole life in this business, Miha. I'm trying to teach you that.
The whole leg, the whole chicken leg.
The whole chicken leg.
Your soul.
My soul, that's what they wanted. If I offered it, they would have taken it, and that's what I resent. But so I send it to them, and then the guy sends me another message, and he's a nice guy. And he's like, that was so great, the singing. I have another idea. How about this? You film yourself eating the chicken, and then you become a character, like this superhero chicken. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
No.
And then so then I'm like, okay, yeah. No. So then I'm like, okay, I'll do that. Okay.
For the same pay, or?
I mean, it's the same, yeah,
for
same
For $2
day.
Bucks extra,
yeah.
Show us your hero chicken.
Yeah, exactly, Alex. Hero chicken, not this chicken. But so basically, let me just see if this is all queued up all properly. We film me. God damn it, now I have to find it again. Sorry, I had the clip queued up. Hold on, give me 1 second, folks. Just 1 second. We film this, and Chris is the one that films me. I think this is the right one. Chris is the one that films me. And he sends it off. He did not tell me that he sent, he basically sent off this whole thing, and I will play it for you here. I think this is the right one.
I'm going to try the ghost pepper. Let's see how.
I'm eating the chicken.
Yo. Chicken guy, apple pie. No, let's do it one more time. All right. Okay.
I hate this fucking shit. All right. You hear me say, I hate this fucking shit.
I will be trying the ghost pepper now. Mm, and let's give it a shot. Brian, are you? Yeah.
Eat the chicken.
Oh, sorry. Chicken guy, make your mouth fry. Chicken guy. Chicken
and then mind you, the chicken is cold at this point.
Uh-huh.
Mm. All right, one more time. Given the
but you know what? You sell it like it's hot, baby. Like it's too hot to trot.
You miss something. Oh. Hold on. You hear me say, and mind you, Chris sent this. Okay, just listen to what I say. Okay.
All right, one more time. Given the Chris Crimson Ghost thing. Okay. Fuckers, I hate this so much. All right. We are now trying the ghost pepper chicken wings. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's give it a shot here. All right. Oh wait, fuck. You can see the chewed off side. Okay. I'm done. Okay, all right. Okay.
Passion of the Nas.
It is.
Yeah, this is your slow torture to death.
Right? Chicken guy, make your mouth fry. Chicken guy. I am Crimson Ghost, the ghost pepper champion man. I will eat any of the crimson.
I start shoveling it in my mouth because I don't know what the fuck to do.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Good. Makes me want to have some.
Good stuff. It's hot. Yes. Temperature's rising. But I am Crimson Ghost. All right. Fuck. I mean, what more do they want? I'm out of chicken. all right.
All right. Wait a second. So he sent that
he
as
sent
is?
That whole
Why?
Thing.
As
Chris
is?
Chris sent that whole thing
that's
to them.
Hilarious.
My, I so have, I did, I admit, like, I wasn't like, oh my God, you sent that. I thought it was funny because I don't care.
Did you just not hear anything?
Huh?
Did you just not hear anything back ever?
No. Well, I wrote them back and I said, hey guys, sorry about my language. I'm sorry. I just apologize. And then they wrote back, lol. They were I have to admit, I'm just saying this, not to burn a bridge or something. They were very nice about it. It's just, when you're trying to get your work day on and you're trying to run Wild 7 Studios, you don't want to slow down for some dopey chicken commercial. You know what I mean?
Please take a moment and hit those like and subscribe buttons. While a small gesture, it really means a lot to Wild 7 Studios and allows us to continue creating meaningful and fun content for your viewing pleasure.